Good evening. Welcome to Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Leanne and I'm an alcoholic. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step two. And if y'all will please help me welcome our panel this evening, we have Debbie and Grace. Woo-hoo! So I'll read the first paragraph that starts on page 44, and then the panel's going to share a few minutes on each reading. So tonight is step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if, when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue. Hoping against hope, we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it's going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral, we could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And we're going to start with Debbie.
I'm an alcoholic. My name is Debbie. Happy 4th of July to everyone that came out. We're all spread out. Let's see. My sobriety date is October 24th, 1982, and my home group is right here at Simple Actions. And I'm an active member of that group, and I have a sponsor, and I sponsor women. And that's the qualifications, I guess, of AA. But so step two, you know, when I came around, I thought step two was easy because I was sure there was a God, and I was sure he had nothing to do with me, and that's how I liked it, and that's how I wanted it to stay. And so when it talked about, you know, came to believe that a power greater than myself would restore me to sanity, it's like, okay, sure, and just kind of skip along and move on. And I know now that it's a lot more to this step than my first go-through with it. So, and I love this first paragraph. You know, Bill keeps telling us over and over again about an alcoholic, a hopeless variety, and the non-alcoholic. And I really wanted to be a hard drinker when they talk about the different kinds of drinkers. I just really wanted to be a hard drinker. I loved to party. You know, my whole family drinks a lot. And I was the good one. You know, I shared this recently at a meeting. I compared myself out with just my family. My dad drank every day. I didn't drink every day. My sister's trying to kill herself. I'm not trying to kill myself. My brother's going to jail for cocaine and firearms. I'm not going to jail for cocaine and firearms. So I'm the good child, you know. And so I just want to party and drink, and I don't want to give that up. And so when it talks about this, if when I honestly want to, I cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking I have little control over the amount I take, I'm probably alcoholic. And again, I didn't really have a problem being an alcoholic. I had a problem with quitting drinking. And what I know is that when I got sent to this program, I went to one meeting on my own and said, no, thank you, that's not for me. I'm too young, too smart, and too pretty for this. And then the judge said, no, you're not, and you're going to go to 3 AA meetings a week for 18 months. And so that's what I did, or go to jail. And so I had that sufficient reason that the hard drinker comes up against about, I need to quit drinking or else I'm going to jail. And I quit for a few months, but I couldn't stay stopped. And so that, and I always knew that once I took a drink, I wasn't going to stop drinking until something stopped me from drinking. I understood really early on about the first drink gets you drunk, because I already knew that I still thought I had control over when I took that first drink, which I later found out wasn't true either. But I always, when I took that first drink, I had no idea what was going to happen, where I was going to end up, and I could not guarantee my behavior. And, you know, we all have the consequences that we'll talk about and hear later. And so what have I got left? I've got two choices. I've got an alcoholic death or a spiritual solution, and I don't like either one of those. And again, I was willing to be the hard drinker. Let me die a few years early. I'm okay with that. But this whole thing, even today, these are my two choices. I have an alcoholic death, or I have a spiritual solution. And it is not always easy alternative to face. So I have to find the spiritual basis of life or else. Now, when I came around, when I was finally convinced that I needed help, because I really thought anything I set my mind to, I should be able to do. That self-reliance that it talks about in here. And I finally got a sponsor, and I finally was willing to do the steps. Things started changing for me, but I didn't see it as this book talks about finding this power that's going to solve my problem. And, you know, it doesn't make sense to me as I'm doing it, is the point I'm trying to make. But what I had to do was be willing to do it. And so I got to that point. I got to that point of hopeless desperation that I can't do this on my own. And I had a whole lot of trouble with the second part of step one for many, many years, even sober. But I knew that I couldn't stop drinking on my own, and I had to find this power that they're going to talk about that I didn't want to hear about, and I was terminally cool. I was not going to say the word God, and I wasn't going to sit next to you if you were saying the word God. And so that's what I brought to the table when I came here. Thanks.
Thanks, Debbie. Hi, I'm Grace. I'm an alcoholic. Am I close enough, David?
Grace.
I don't like microphones. My name's Grace. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 31st, 2011. God willing, close pretty soon here, I'll have 5 years. My home group is the Centerville Baptist 12 and 12 in Chesapeake. Step two is probably, well, when I got here, I was not a baby, clearly. And I'm one of those hopeless drunks. And there was no disputing that. At 52, I had given my children away, my home, my car, everything was gone. They packed me away and sent me to a rehab. And I was willing to go. The first time I walked into that counselor's office, she had the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous on the wall. And I, silly as this sound, looked at it, and it looked like the way out to me. And I really didn't question it. When I got out of that rehab and they told me to get a sponsor and go to meetings every day and join a home group and do these things every day, my sponsor said to me, well, we need to get on the steps. And I said, well, I think I'm good with steps 1, 2, and 3. Let's just move on. And, you know, God is great because she didn't argue with me, and I did what she told me to do. And I didn't drink, and I went to meetings every day, and I called her every day, and I got a home group, and I did those things. And what I know today is that I had accepted my alcoholism and all its consequences, and I was without power, and I was seeking Alcoholics Anonymous as my higher power. I didn't know it. I didn't think about it. I didn't question who God was, and I'm grateful for that. The obsession to drink never has come back. I just did what I was told. Where it talks about in here, it's funny when you write stuff down and you look at it again in the future. For some reason, way back when it said, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not easy alternatives to face. I wrote, yikes. Clearly, that didn't sound good to me. But I did it anyway, like Debbie had said. I did it anyway. It was the actions that I was taking without really knowing why, that I was willing to do because I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't know how not to drink and live. And so I was ready, and later on, some of these other passages that are going to be read, it's amazing how when we stop fighting and just go through the process, more is revealed. Step two, for me early on, was simply an exercise, I guess, to get to the next step. And through that, I came to know, speak of God. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks, Grace.
Okay, on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe, underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive, or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men.
I love this whole chapter, but When I came around, I just confused the heck out of everything. My sponsor used to say, she cut out a cartoon that she found, and she said, "This is you, Debbie." And it said, "Agree with me now, it'll save so much time later, because I will argue with everything that she's trying to do to save my life." You know, I just didn't get this, how this was connected to my drinking. What does this have to do with my drinking? But I also would be open enough, you know, I really, if anybody's new and having trouble with this, you just need such a tiny little bit of willingness for this to blow wide open for you. We'll talk a little bit about appendix two, and I'm a very slow educational variety spiritual experience kind of girl, and so I just confused it, and I read a lot of religious type of information, and I talked to, I mean, I would interrogate people about religion, and I had this, you know, this paragraph talks a lot about prejudice, which I didn't even catch that word until I was sober a very long time, and it was brought out to me. Because I was one of those violently anti-religious people. And I quit going to church when I was 12. So where I got my information from, I'm not sure. Because I already knew that y'all are, the religious people are all wrong and I'm right. And so, and my concept was there was a God and he's over here running the universe. And it's a beautiful universe. Every time I'm in nature, I have that awe that it talks about. And Debbie's over here running her universe. So I would never say I was an atheist, but I lived my life like I was an atheist, that I was God. I was the center of my world. And so there was a man in the program, you know, so the whole thing about willingness, I would have just that crack in my head, you know, we slam shut the door. I would have that crack of willingness. And I heard this man say, Alcoholics Anonymous gives you the privilege to find your own God in your own way in your own time. And I could kind of hold on to that a little bit. It just took me a real long time, you know. but it was there, and it was like, okay. I'll talk a little bit about what finally happened to let me see this step two, because it comes a little bit later. But the whole thing about seeking him, I am very much a seeker still today. I don't try and have an agenda so much with it anymore. I don't interrogate people anymore, but I certainly I love to talk about this. I love to go to conferences, and my favorite AA female speaker was at the podium, and she said, I love God. And I'm like ready to sink into the floor, like, what are you talking about? Because that concept was so foreign to me. It was like, God loves me, but I don't see this reciprocity relationship. And that was a turning point, that it just kind of sunk into my head. It's like, oh, this is a relationship that I'm working on. It's not just things being told to me or given to me or woohoo, you don't drink anymore. And it's a relationship that I have to seek. And so today I feel like I'm led rather than aggressively trying to pave the road ahead of me to say this is what I think it ought to look like. And it really has changed dramatically for me. I love this step two. I know, you know, I've heard in the rooms that step one is the problem and step two is the answer. And I love that, and I believe that today. Thanks.
much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another conception of God. Boy, did I get relief when I first read that. Because I'm a fallen Catholic. And I wanted no parts of the God that I grew up with. It had too many rules, and I'd broken all of them. And I really didn't know how to go there. I have come to understand here that I am of the agnostic persuasion. The first time I read We Agnostics, I didn't think it applied to me. I really didn't know what it meant, to be honest. I had absolutely no reliance on God. I knew God existed, but I was it. Mm. I was raised that way. My father would say, you know, you're tough, you can do it, fix it, you know, you made the problem, you clean it up, blah, 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 blah. And so I was relieved to find out that I was not responsible for the world. Mm. I was relieved. The fact that I can, and I love it in here, how many times I need to count, how many times it refers to our Creator. It's beautiful. It's so simple. Whatever denomination or religion is practiced, I think that's why this works for all of us. The point of this was, for me, was not only was I not in charge, I wasn't supposed to be in charge. And I didn't know that when I got here. And like I said before, these steps look to me to be the way out of the mess I had created. And I promise you, if I had one other option in my head, I would have used it, but I didn't. And when I work with women today and they struggle, it's, I think, because they still got some options. but when I'm done, and then I'll rely on God. The thing about this endless cycle of these steps for me today is that they apply to all my affairs. And I have teenagers. I'm a single mother. I'm self-employed. I rely on God every day. Thanks.
Okay, we're over on page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe, or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Right, so that's pretty much what I've been talking about the whole time, is this whole thing of willingness and how simple it was. I'll be honest with you, my first sponsor was a guy because I wouldn't trust in any women, and he didn't want to do that, but he said he would do it temporarily until I found a woman I would trust. And so he took me to meetings, and thank God he had some morals because I didn't. But so I finally met a woman that I asked for to be my sponsor, and she's the one that took me through these first couple of steps. And she would say, you're going to get on your knees and pray. And you're going to say thank you, or ask him to help you not take a drink today. And you're going to get on your knees at night and say thank you. And again, I was willing. Now, if someone had told me that when I came around and wasn't willing yet, because I'm not a first nighter here, I would not have done that. But I was willing to do that. And my first prayer, many of you have heard this that know me, was, this is Debbie, because I didn't think he knew who I was. We had no connection. And please help me not take a drink today, and I feel like a phony, and I don't know why I'm doing this. And I got up and went about my day, and I didn't drink that day. And then I thanked him that night. And so I did that over and over and over again. And at the time, I don't see this working, because I didn't have the obsession to drink leave me right away. But I was willing to do it, and I have to be willing today to do what is asked of me of this program. But again, it's such a minute little bit of willingness that is needed, and then it's really, I'm the one that limits it then. I really think that I can't even comprehend God's grace, how big it is sometimes, today. That's where I am today. It certainly wasn't where I was when I came in here. But today, I think I would just melt or something if I actually knew the magnitude of God's grace. And so I have been transformed with these steps, but I did not know it was happening, and I don't even think I believed it. Obviously, I didn't with the prayer. I don't know what I'm doing. So it doesn't matter. It does not matter. God does not need my help. He just does it. And that's an amazing gift of this program. Thanks.
As was just said, all that's needed was the willingness to do it, whether I believed it or not. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? I was absolutely willing to believe. I had no idea what it was. I didn't care what it was. I knew it wasn't me. Have I balked? I balk all the time. Usually when, and it has nothing to do with drinking anymore, but with my relationships, suggestions that are given to me, I balk all the time. But the first thing that happens is I get a little uncomfortable, irritable, or discontent, and I realize I need to go back and stop playing God, do what I'm told to do. My first sponsor used to say they're not suggestions, they're subtle commands. And I needed that, because I was a little afraid of her, you know. The spiritual structure can be built, because the spiral, I heard somebody compare these steps to a spiral staircase, and they just keep going and going and going. And more will be revealed. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you. All right, on page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problem by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a long time to really believe that my ideas did not work. I'm not sure I'm convinced of it today sometimes on the way I act. These bedevilments are pretty much my untreated alcoholism on a daily basis. If I'm not following the spiritual solution, this is still my life today. You know, and I would compare myself out, like I said. You know, I got sober in downtown Baltimore. I was in nursing school at the University of Maryland. And I would go to detox, the inner city detox meeting, where they had inner city cockroaches this big. To get my three meetings a week. And so I did not relate to these alcoholics as far as their what had happened to them. They were truly living under the bridge. They were truly in their raincoats that were soiled and dirty. And, you know, I'm 27 and going to nursing school and think I'm hot stuff and know what I'm talking about. And but what I know today is my soul was just as empty as every one of those men in there, and those men saved my life. They never said to me, "Don't come back here," you know. Even when I was still drinking, no one ever said to me, "Don't come back here," you know. And that is a gift of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I definitely, you know, so my point was I would compare myself out, but when I read this paragraph, this really should be more, you know, along with the, "I can't stop drinking," and if I can't control how much I drink, this is a description of active alcoholic or my untreated alcoholism. That was my life. You know, I never, even before I drank, I had these problems. You know, I never felt right. Something's wrong with me. I've shared often that, you know, I had a lazy eye and had to wear a patch on one eye, and I'd get on the bus and take that patch off, and I couldn't see once I got to school. I wouldn't ask you what the direction said. You know, I mean, this is the first grade. I'm already belligerent and not going to ask you for help. And so I definitely have some trouble with personal relationships at times. Cannot control our emotional natures. I was sharing with a sponsee yesterday. I was a very, you know, we're very successful people. I was 18. I was a manager of a clothing store. I was one of their three youngest managers. And they sent me to whatever state they sent me to for training. And my review, I was only there for a week. And the review was that I was moody and irritable. I'm like 18 years old, so it didn't get any better as I went along. And so I was a prey to misery and depression. I could always make a living, and I'm not sure. Now, I say that. I thought I was making a living. I worked three jobs 7 days a week when I got sober. that's how I made a living. But I was just very, I don't know if that was one of those bars that we drop, you know. It's like, I've got to pay my bills. So I would get up and go to work no matter what condition I was in. And I watched my dad do that every day. So that was instilled in me. But yeah, these whole bedevilments are still with me today if I don't follow this spiritual solution. And then the whole idea of doubting the power of God, I'm going to share this now because they don't really read what happened to me. So I'm going along, I'm interrogating people, I'm trying to figure out who God is, and you know, following suggestions, and I'm sober for a while. And so I'm to the point, I'm going to jump ahead because I've gone through the steps at this point, and I'm practicing step 11 in prayer and meditation. And what happened to me, because I could not figure out how Jesus fit into any of this, and it was a big dilemma for me. And so I'm talking a long time in sobriety, that was a big dilemma for me. And that was my violently anti-religious thing. But anyway, so I'm sitting there doing my prayer and meditation, and I hear, and I don't hear voices, I'm not crazy, but what happens is I think a thought that I know is not my thought, and it said, "You're an alcoholic, you're an AA, that's where I want you. I either am or I'm not. Make a choice and do the work." And I'm like, Okay. You do not need to figure out the 2,000-year-old question. And that's also what I heard. And it was such a relief. It's like, oh, thank God, I don't have to read all these books anymore. And so I have done that now for years. I just know there's a God. It's not me. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I urge you to not complicate it for as long as I did. It talks about that. We hope some of you don't take as long as some of us. I'm one of the slow ones. And so once I realized, once I had that experience, and it was an experience. I mean, my husband walked by the room and knew something was going on. He's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, Something's happening. I'll never forget it. And so I urge you to pray and meditate, because you never know what's going to happen. You think you know, but you don't really know. And so I do know that I am now no longer doubting the power of God, because I've had experiences of God. When I'm all up here and reading and trying to figure it out, I don't have any experience of God. I'm staying sober, so there is a God, staying sober. But I have no reason to invite him into my life, because I don't really see any connection to my life until I start having connections in my life. And so it is kind of a vicious circle of, can I have the faith just to do it? And so today I have that faith just to do it, and I have the experiences on a very frequent basis that I have no doubt that there is a God today. Thanks.
The first time I read this, I was not comparing myself out. When I read it, I really thought they were writing about me. Every single word. I had never heard the word bedevilment before, and I had to look it up. But every single sentence, comma, everything in there was how my entire life had felt, with or without a drink, when I was honest. Now, if you'd asked me to read that paragraph, say, 20 years ago, and everything was still the same, I would have said, no, I'm none of those things. But when I read it, I thought it was me. It felt like it was being written about me. And it was a horrible place to be. It was a hopeless, hopeless, hopeless place to be. And alcohol did not work anymore. It didn't squelch it, didn't quiet it. I kept waking up. I really didn't want to wake up anymore. I really thought that the vodka would just take me out. I kept waking up. And the problems were still there, and the fear was bigger. And that paragraph is huge. And the God of my understanding today gave me the clarity when I first read that to not think it wasn't me. Because the next paragraph is huge. You know, when we saw in others the problem solved, see, that gave me hope. It gave me hope. I wasn't questioning it. And I don't know how to tell anybody not to question it. You either do or you don't. You either do or you don't. This power greater than me, y'all were certainly happy. You didn't look like I felt, you know. I mean, I couldn't. How I felt on the inside was now showing. It was showing. People walked out. Strangers walked past me and were worried. My family couldn't look. They couldn't even look anymore. So I knew when I came into these rooms, and you said you were alcoholic and you didn't look like I felt, that there was a solution. And I was absolutely in the spirit of the universe. What a beautiful phrase. You know, I don't care what you believe in. I couldn't deny that. And the love that oozes out of these rooms, the unconditional love that I felt, as awful as I felt, I trusted you, and I was willing, there's that word again, to keep coming back, to call my sponsor every day, to do what was told to me. Nobody, y'all didn't ask a whole lot of me early on. That's the great part. And the only person that ever complicated any of this was me. And the amount of patience, I was talking to someone before the meeting, this is an exercise of repetition. You know, saying the same thing over and over and over again. And then my poor sponsor or whoever's told me 5,000 times, and I'd call her up and go, you know what I heard in a meeting last night? and she wouldn't say a word. But the God idea worked. Again, I say, if I'd have had one other option of my own, I would not have trusted anyone other than myself. And you didn't ask much of me. You just asked to stop relying on me. Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, page 568 in the back of the book, Appendix 2. It says, most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable.
I used to go to a halfway house meeting when I first got sober, and I don't know, maybe about 9 months sober, and I was being so brave, and I said something like, talking about the spiritual part of this program, and I was quickly told, because they were not kind, they were not politically correct, but they were kind because they loved me until I got sober, said, there is no spiritual part of this program, Debbie. It is a spiritual program. And I didn't like that, and I had to get a resentment against that. But, you know, whenever I bristle against something, it's usually something in me that I've got to look at. So today I can say the word God. I do call my power God, and I do believe that I have a God consciousness. I at least start out the day trying to have that God consciousness. Holding it throughout the day is not always possible. But one of the first, you know, we all have our own moments of in sobriety that mean something to me, to us. And so I didn't change a lot of things. I was a bartender, and my husband was a beer truck driver for Budweiser, and we had a wonderful marriage for about 2 years until drinking got in the way. But we would separate and get back together, and separate and get back together as I was getting sober. And I was sober maybe probably not even quite a year. And we had a boat, and the best part of boating is going to the restaurants, pulling up in the at the dock and going to the restaurant. And so, and of course, at this point now, I'm the designated boat driver also, as well as the car driver. But anyway, so we're in the restaurant and everybody's drinking. And like I said, the obsession to drink was not removed from me right away. So I ordered a beer. I said, I'm done with this. I'm going to do what I want to do. And by this point, I was probably about 9 months sober, but I'd been going to meetings for about 15 months. And I looked at that beer, and I got up, and I went to the bathroom, and I said, "Dear God, don't let me take that drink, because I know exactly what these people are telling me. I know what I am and who I am, and I know that if I take that drink, it's just going to be all on again." And I didn't take that drink. I didn't let anybody else drink that drink. It was my drink. You know, I'm not sharing. I'm selfish. And I didn't know at that moment what a momentous thing that was, because I always drank. If there's a drink in front of me, and especially if I ordered it, I'm going to drink that drink. So repetition, just over and over again, coming to these meetings, not even because I wanted to, but because I was being sent. This program works if you just do the work. And I was working with a sponsor, and I was working through the steps with her, and I didn't drink that. And it didn't even occur to me for a long time that the desire to drink had left me. Because I would call my sponsor, I want a drink, and she would do all her sponsorly duties, and you know, for so long. And then finally one day she said, "Meet me at the bar and I'll buy your first one." Again, not politically correct in today's world, but I then got angry and said, "Whatever you say when you get angry, or what I say when I get angry, I'm not going to drink. I'll show you," you know. And so I'm just that belligerent alcoholic. And again, I didn't drink that day. So it's not always pretty. I have this idea of what spiritual should look like. I'm supposed to be nice and kind and loving, and it doesn't always look like that in my world. But it always works in my world. And so what I know today is that obsession to drink was gone when I honestly asked him, because that was probably the first honest prayer I ever said. Because up to that point, I'm just following directions. But I knew then that it was between me and him, and I could not drink, and I wanted to drink. And I didn't drink. And so, again, I got to experience that. It wasn't just in my head or hearing people say it worked for them. I now know that it works for me. And that's, I just love this program and the gifts that we get in it. Thanks.
I have no idea what spiritual looks like either. I know that if I'm irritable and discontent and fearful and anxious, I'm probably not spiritual. And when I first got here and was introduced to step two, and they talk about an alcoholic death or a spiritual experience, I really didn't know what that meant. And but then again, y'all just told me to, you know, don't drink, go to meetings, call your sponsor, do the same thing every day, and more will be revealed. Say your prayers, you know, and I kept doing that and doing that. And then they started sneaking in these principles. What is that? You know, we talk about them. I didn't really hear anybody really. They said practice these principles in all my affairs. And I'm like, is that the steps? I Googled it and, you know, there's actually principles back there. And I didn't do any of that in the beginning. But I understood things like telling the truth, the next right thing. And this part, you know, I'm sorry I'm all over the place because I read this every day. Seeking God. It's something about that. I didn't know I was doing it. I didn't know what I was doing. I was doing what y'all were telling me to do early on. And then the more I read in this book, I love this book. I don't know how many times I've read it, and I still read things like it's the first time. When I'm seeking, it's in the seeking that I find God. That's where I get close to God. God, I don't think God's ever going to come down and sit down with me. I do on occasion call him dude. And I have a conversation. I talk to God today. I have this relationship. But he doesn't talk back. He does not talk back. Not yet, anyway. And if he does, some of my lady friends might want to be worried about me. But when I'm trying to do the next right thing, when I'm trying to live an honest life of integrity, that's my word lately, you know, integrity, it's amazing. My life gets better. I wrote down here again, they've told us in rehab, those anachrons, how do you say the word? Anyway, how? Honest, open-minded, and willing. And honesty was huge for me because I am a natural born liar. I will lie to you for absolutely no reason. I mean, I tell this story. I was probably 2 years sober, and I'm going to a meeting with my sponsor. She's driving because we always went to meetings together. And she's asked me, she's talking about a book. She's reading this book, and I go, I read that. Never read it. I mean, lies just fall out of my mouth, you know. So honesty was hard for me, and I could understand cash register honesty, but I couldn't even comprehend that thing y'all say to thine own self be true stuff. That was just too big. Open-mindedness, I can understand that as long as I agree with you, and then I got a little problem. Willingness, if I agree with you. So that honest, open-minded, and willing does not come naturally to me. What I know, as I've got a few days in now, that it's all coming from the Creator, the power of the universe. Anything that I do well today, I had nothing to do with. And as soon as I start thinking I do, I get off kilter. I get off. That's when I'm not being very spiritual. I still don't understand or know what spirituality is. It's a pretty broad word. They gave me a hint in step two. They told me I was either going to die or get it. But there was a walk in between there that I have to do on a daily basis. And I have to do it every day. It's not hard, but it's sometimes not what I want. And that I part of my brain, that self, which is what step two is really setting me up for, is recognizing that I cannot run the show. I can't do it. Anyway, that's it.
Thanks. Okay, our last reading tonight is back on page 17. Here are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner, the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement which binds us. But that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree, and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism.
Yeah, so I'm gonna plug sponsorship here, as well as these two paragraphs. I have been very grateful for the women who have spent a lot of time with me. I've been sober a long time. This weekend, I'm gonna go spend, and I've had, I don't count the guy really, but 1, 2, 3, 4 sponsors in my years of sobriety, and all because of moves. Is why I changed sponsors, because I need a face, skin-on person to keep me honest. But I've kept in contact with these women, and so this weekend I'm going to an AA conference with my 78-year-old sponsor from Baltimore. She's not my sponsor anymore. She's my friend, who I've known for 30-some years, you know, and she's got her little wheeled, her little walker, and we're still going to AA conferences together. I have another sponsor from who lived here and moved to Maine, who's, again, not my sponsor anymore. She's my friend. And I still go and visit her. And I have a relationship with these women in my life. I didn't want anything to do with any woman in my life when I came into these rooms. They were the competition. I had nothing to learn from them. And so what a gift that has been in my life that and continues to be in my life. And I have a sponsor today who I met with yesterday. And she, I like what David says, she knows that she sponsors me. You know, it's not just on paper that, okay, check, I got a sponsor. And so I still need all of this today just as much as I did then. And just, it's always meant to be, this program to me has always meant to be one-on-one. It's one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And that's what these women did for me. And certainly all the meetings and all the people and all the groups and all of the service work. But that sponsorship relationship and people I sponsor now, I see it's just such a gift of this program. And so as far as these two paragraphs, that whole common peril, you know, we all have the same problem, and that's that one-on-one talking to each other, and that's how we can identify like that when we're talking to somebody that's been through what we've gone through, where I'm not going to be honest with my mother or a doctor or something like that. This person knows what I've been through. I might have a little bit of chance. I didn't have any self-honesty. I had. They taught me that early on, to thine own self be true on the back of all the medallions. It's like I have no clue what that's talking about. Okay. Today I have a little clue about what that's about. And so we have this fellowship. We have a common peril. And then that the way it was described to me is that's the fellowship. But if we only had the fellowship, mm-hmm. we wouldn't stay sober. Mm-hmm. And so we have a common solution. And to me, that's the spirit, and that's the power, and that's God, or whatever you want to call him. And that that's the tremendous fact for every one of us. And so I just want to read this one thing because it's just amazing to me that came out of this We Agnostics, and it's on page 55. So I'll end with this. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. I mean, that's quite a promise. You know, I didn't believe any of that stuff when I read it, but I can tell you that all of that has come true in my life today. You know, we have our little sayings, you know, there is a God and you're not it. So I kind of redid that responses and said, I don't care what you call them, just don't call them your first name. Thanks.
I'm going to plug the three legacies on this
there
one. You know, unity, recovery, and service. The fellowship, though, is where I get what my medicine. It's where I get my medicine. I just had she will be 90. I get choked up there. Thursday, my mother. And she's fine. She's healthy. She's old, but she's good. And so, but I have a large family. There's 10 siblings, and it's not pretty. You know, we're working on it, and I'm the only technically alcoholic. The rest are hard drinkers. So when I have family gatherings, it's a stressful situation. So I went 2 days and I didn't get to a meeting. And I don't normally do that. I still do a meeting every day. I still do that. And it's amazing. I couldn't figure out why I was so anxious and, you know, fearful. I forget really quick. Because when I walk in the room, in these rooms, I feel better. I feel better. I didn't feel better when I first got here. I had no idea what was wrong with me, and I didn't know you. But I know today. The solution's very simple. Go to a meeting. And in here, then y'all told me about you know, these steps and service work. And when I have all three of those things firing, I can't get drunk. And I don't know that unless I come in these rooms. And the fact that, and the other thing is, no matter where I go, I run into us. It's amazing. I have no problem with busting my own anonymity. I would never touch anyone else's. But I'll be sitting somewhere reading my little big book behind my purse, you know, in the mechanics, waiting for my car or something, and somebody shows up. You know, I'm freaking out over the bill that I might get. And one of you guys show up. And I feel better. You don't fix my problems, but I feel better. Because I'll talk to you. I'll tell you stuff I wouldn't tell another soul. And I don't even know you. We are not a group that would normally mix, you know. And I love every single person that I've ever met in these rooms and want nothing but the best. And I don't know what other gathering of people can truthfully say that. I get pissy with some people, or, you know, my sponsor used to say, well, you spot it, you got it. Maybe so. Not very spiritual. But I love every single person that I see in these rooms. And I know you get me, and I get you. And somehow, Bill and Bob stumbled onto this thing. How does that happen? Well, I know today it was an act of providence. So, you know, it's an amazing thing. When I walked in here, I was done doing what I was doing and willing to do what y'all told me. The basics. You don't even ask that much of me, really. You ask me not to drink, to go to meetings, and talk to my sponsor on a regular basis. I do have a long-distance sponsor right now, by the way, and it's working. But and I do service work. Whenever the hand of AA reaches out, I say, okay. And somehow or another, I have no idea. I had nothing to do with it. My life today is, I couldn't have dreamed it. I couldn't have dreamed it up. And there's nothing out on the outside. It's that I don't want to die today. I want to live. I look forward to every single day. And it's amazing. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. That ends our sharing for tonight. At this time, we're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. At this time, are there any AA-related announcements? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Will home group members please raise your hand? Just grab one of us after the meeting if you're interested in joining our group. Newcomers, is there anyone here that's in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd really like to welcome you. If you just raise your hand and give us your first name.
I'm Robert. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Robert.
Welcome.
Glad you're here.
Hey, Mary.
Welcome.
Dave, welcome. Melissa, welcome.
All right. I want to point out that we've got literature over here on the table, pamphlets, if you can fold it, they're free. The books have a small price, it's just the cost that of the book. And you can see one of the home group members after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a book. And for the sponsorship question, sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, if you'll please raise your hand. Okay. If you have any questions or would like additional information on sponsorship, just come up after the meeting and ask me. And reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. I don't know if anyone else is using the church this evening, but if we can just stay away from the doors kind of over near the bike rack. All of our meetings are audio recorded, and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And again, if y'all will help me thank Debbie and Grace. Thanks to all who participated. And after we clean up this evening, we will not be going to dinner. The restaurant is closed tonight. So if there's something that's on your mind or you want to talk to somebody about something, just grab somebody after the meeting and talk to them. We'll regroup next week. Next Monday, they'll probably be open. Do I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? Harmony?
I'm Harmony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Harmony.
Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize that you know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you as well. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't taught. Be good that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy days. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. For those that care to join, we'll close with the Lord's Prayer.
Let's see where we're going to go.
Thank you.